and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. I'm sorry, will I promote what now? All right, we'll talk about that later.
Oh, we will?
You would not believe the questions I get asked when I walk in the door this morning.
Yeah.
Ball says what? 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We're about to get an eye candy grab in a minute. Sexy liberal Hal Sparks on his way in, running a little bit late.
His birthday was yesterday, and he said the birthday shenanigans are making him run a little late.
Oh, ding dong, eye candy grab. He'll be here in a second. And all three of us, Hal Sparks, John Fuglesang, and I will be in Seattle for my big birthday celebration on Saturday, September 29th at the Paramount Theater. Tickets almost gone. Go get it.
I get so horny when I'm in Seattle.
Me too. And every other city. Okay. Yeah, I told you. I was just telling Jackie I'm going to roll the window down on the plane on the way up and say wee and stick my head out like a Labrador. I'll be like, now my head's in Bakersfield.
Just be sure to wear your doggles.
Your tongue hanging out.
It is so hot in here.
I didn't understand why they don't let us do that. What's the problem?
Yeah, by the way, that's why we have to have stories like this now in Scientific America.
Oh.
We should just send him a subscription. Why airplane windows don't roll down.
Oh, God.
They felt they had to offer this after the mitwit.
Why things fall.
Scientific American. Were you to open a plane window, the compressed air inside would rapidly rush out. Atmospheric conditions inside and outside the plane would equalize, and everybody would die.
Yeah,
there's that.
Thank you, Scientific American. Thank you.
Is that all the article was?
No, there's more. Most of us don't need any further explanation.
That would be funny if that's all the article was.
I was talking to a pilot friend of mine yesterday, and she was like, well, you have about 9 seconds of survivable.
Nine seconds? That's plenty of time.
He said, what? Okay. All right.
He wants to kill his wife, obviously.
Stop it.
What?
Just stop it. Stop it.
Stop it. Stop it.
This is hard. You want to try it? Get in the ring. This is hard.
Mm. Opening a window on an airplane at 30,000 feet? Yeah, that's hard.
Priceless. Okay. All right. Sexy Liberal News. Damien in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Sexy Liberal documentary, which apparently it's getting crazy ratings.
They're going to ask for a series. You do realize this, right? I mean, if it's doing that great in the ratings, they're going to ask for a series.
So is this show. I don't know what's happening.
What?
Yeah.
Are we really? This whole thing?
Yes. Nanette in Englewood said, by the way, the price of success. Steph, Jim, and Chris joked about squeezing out the Today Show in the ratings. If you ask me, it must be true. We are beating the Today Show in the ratings. I was telling my girlfriend, Jodie Foster, who I'm dating just yesterday.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I keep hearing about the awesome Sexy Liberals documentary all over Current. That's great. If you get Current, which we don't, is there any chance the program will show up on Netflix or Hulu anytime soon? We're checking into that. See you in the Big Apple. We're driving so we can roll our windows up and down whenever we want to. God bless favorable and life-sustaining atmospheric conditions. Damien, bringing the snark.
Why do the astronauts have to wear those suits on the moon? They're so unbecoming.
I don't understand. It makes them look hippie. Why is that necessary? I don't get it.
Wow. They should just send an out on a biplane with goggles and a scarf.
Yes.
Then
she'd be a wingwalker.
Exactly.
Yes. A jaunty scarf.
A jaunty scarf.
A jaunty $1,000 scarf.
Oh, she'd pay more than that for a scarf.
Like she pays for her T-shirts.
Exactly.
All right. I was riding back and forth with the giant celebrity that's doing the panel for New York for the Sexy Liberal Show at the Beacon October 27th. And Aisha Tyler and I exchanged squee texts. I guess it's cutting. Oh, my God. Squee! And she wrote back triple squee.
The sound you make when someone opens a window on an airplane.
Right. Yeah. Squee. Squee! And then your head explodes.
You don't quite get all the way to the
E. You look like that scene in Scanners.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, I bet Mitt Romney's head exploded when he saw these new polls. Ooh.
Oh.
Ooh.
Those are wrong.
But they're wrong.
They're wrong.
They're wrong.
Math is a liberal bias.
and science and atmospheric conditions.
Stop it. Just stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Obama opens up substantial leads in key swing states. He has opened up significant leads over Mitt Romney in Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Florida, according to a CBS News New York Times poll. Oh, dear. Let's see. A 10-point lead in Ohio.
Uh-huh.
That's the one that's rolling?
Wow.
Mm. Oh, dear. Oh, Mittens. Oh, Mittens.
Kelby at Current.
Yes.
Just said,
Shelby?
Kelby, whatever.
Hi, Shelby.
Loved
you in Steel Magnolias.
Just said the best random Facebook quote of the day, every time Mitt opens his mouth, a swing state gets its wings.
Oh, wait a minute. Why? Who's that that just slipped in?
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be?
Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes! Yes!
Well, yes. Somebody had time to stop at Starbucks.
No, coffee bean. Thank you very much.
No.
It's the West Coast.
Yeah,
Somebody's recovering from their birthday yesterday.
Yeah,
happy birthday.
Thanks. Yeah, we were actually shooting till Super Bowl.
Wow.
He's my Libra, my little Libra soulmate. Oh, yes.
Yep.
All right. So there'll be group spanking Saturday for
Seattle
Sexy Liberal.
But how is that different from the last time we were in Seattle for Sexy Liberal?
It was around my birthday last time.
Oh, that's true. I didn't get any spankings last time.
You probably should
have for that behavior.
Jim, if you loved me, you would get me that robo spank machine we had at the old studio.
Right.
Spankmaster
2000.
Spankmaster 2000.
No, I'm not familiar.
Sure you are.
Oh, like you've never done Playboy Radio.
They
Jim's
didn't have one when I did it, actually.
I have done Playboy Radio many times,
but I never saw the Spankmaster.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, I turned it up to 11 once.
Yes.
Jim's never...
I haven't.
Jim went, he went through the cinder block wall. On the other side.
Yeah, right.
Little tendon damage.
Oh,
sorry.
On him.
Yeah.
I see. I thought you just kind of, they gave you the remote and let you have a room to yourself.
But it did propel me...
Flappity, 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 flappity. Is Steph ever coming out of there?
No. But it did propel me directly into the break room where they have 26 channels of porn.
Yeah, sure.
Jim was frequently late back from commercial break.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was also a filthy imitation leather couch in the studio.
Yeah. He always had extra foam on his latte.
Imitation leather couch. What?
Yeah.
What?
Huh?
Whoa, all right.
What?
You know what we can hope for? What? First of all, we have Eye Candy Graham. Ding dong.
Hi there.
Sparks is here. And maybe Road Flare Mary will call in. Road Flare Mary has become everybody's new favorite. We think she smokes road flares, but we don't really know.
Well,
she's
from Chicago.
Yeah.
Yep. She gargles broken glass and clamshells.
Yeah. And she called in, was it 2 days ago with the zinger? She told me to go smoke my dildo, which is awesome.
Oh.
Zing!
That just
zing.
Made my week.
Boom!
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So that happened.
Yeah.
And so now, Audra and Kate have given her us the theme song. Well, we have two.
Yeah.
Please don't leave us like this.
Oh, Mary.
You said she was blocked, but we know that you are lying. You said she was blocked. After all, your words of steel.
Go smoke your dildo.
Click.
I must have been dreaming.
You know, every time I call in, your ratings go up.
I wish I was someone else.
You know. I hope
it's not over.
You know.
The power of Mary. Our love. Hold on. Call back Mary. Cause our love is holding on. Holding on.
Wow. That was a little overwhelming.
And it won't let go.
Right.
It's a little overwrought.
Sorry.
My goodness. Yeah, she has a Twitter feed now, Road Flare Mary?
Yeah, in fact, she's tweeting right now.
Is she?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people are starting to put on wigs and lipstick and imitate her online. I don't know. Kenny Pick from Cleveland got in the game.
I was standing in line in the grocery store the other day, and I saw these poor people buying food, and I don't appreciate it. Why should poor people be allowed to live? It's disgusting.
She found a new show on the TV. She picked up the phone and called T-Bone. Told Stephanie Miller to smoke her dildo. Now Mary keep on burning. Keep all her stomachs churning. She'll be smoking.
Smoking.
Smoking on a road flare. Smoking. Smoking. Smoking on a road flare.
Thank you, Kenny Pick.
Wow. Good grief.
Her, the premise, Hal, in case you missed it, was her son can't get enough food stamps because all the black people in their Escalades are...
All the blacks their Escalades full
I'm
of
familiar
food.
With the argument.
Too much food.
Yes, I've heard it. Not convincing, but I've heard
no,
it.
No, it's not at
not
all.
Not at all. By the way, have you guys heard, did you guys read the Politico article about the lovely behind-the-scenes Ryan business?
Oh, no. What's that?
So I forget.
You scamp. What?
Should we maybe tease it for after the break?
Yes, we should.
Oh, my God. It's like we went to professional radio
school. Oh, yeah. Totally.
Hal Sparks will be back with that story in a minute.
Yes. Oh, yay.
Oh, I've got it right here. It's good stuff.
You little tease.
Oh, it's exciting.
You're a little brain tease.
Oh, you know it.
You little imp. Okay. 17 minutes after the hour, that teasy Hal Sparks will be back.
Oh, he will.
With some Hump Day's magic.
Oh,
this,
man.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
A beautifully wrapped, glossy, sweet-smelling show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I love disco.
Oh,
I hear it's making a comeback.
Yes. Oh, my God. It's so much fun watching the media play the What If game.
Yeah.
So if pigs fly out my ass, and then also in Ohio something, here's a path where Mitt could win.
If my aunt had a...
Possibly had a...
And
she were my uncle, and then Pennsylvania suddenly...
Yeah. If no one, if everyone in Pennsylvania was not allowed to vote, and we went back to a fiefdom and serfdom system where one magistrate for the entire district was allowed to cast votes for every person in the town,
right?
Then Romney would have it made.
Then Romney could, the landowners
could. Meanwhile, back here in the real world.
What's that stench?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so this is what I'm talking about. All right. So,
remember
about this time the last cycle? Palin was going rogue.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing, was that she was not telling, her handlers were telling her one thing. She was getting mad that McCain was, you know, had these bridled on her, and she couldn't get, this is how the article from Politico starts. My favorite is the third paragraph.
Yes.
Hang on, kids. It gets fun.
Wait for it.
Paul Ryan has gone rogue. He is unleashed, unchained, and off the hook. I hate to say this, but if Ryan wants to run for national office again, he'll probably have to wash the stench of Romney off of him, Craig Robinson, a former political director of the Republican Party of Iowa, told the New York Times on Sunday. Coming from a resident of Iowa, a state where people are polite even to soybeans, this was a powerful condemnation of the Republican nominee. Yep. Here it comes. Though Ryan had already decided to distance himself from the floundering Romney campaign, he now feels totally uninhibited.
Oh, dear.
Reportedly, he has been marching around his campaign bus saying things like, if stench calls, take a message. And tell stench I'm having finger sandwiches with Peggy Noonan and I will text him later. Wow!
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie? You're going to have to go back to Congress.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie? I won't go! I won't! I won't! I won't!
Dead on.
By the way, Butch Patrick loves the show.
Yes. Tell Stench.
If
Stench calls, tell him I'm having finger sandwiches with Peggy Noonan, and I'll text him back.
Just when you thought there wasn't a worse name than Mitt. Now his new name.
Oh,
Stench.
By the way, it said well before the Stench article appeared, there was a strong sign that Ryan was freeing himself from the grips of the Romney campaign. It began after his disastrous appearance with the AARP in New Orleans. Ryan delivered his marks. Yeah. In style dictated by his Romney handlers, stand behind the lectern, read the speech written, and don't stray from the script. This is what they've been telling you.
The initial boo, and then they boo the explanation.
They booed the boo,
I thought there'd be mixed reactions, so let me explain, and then he explains. It's like a crowd full of Snoopy.
He had his mom there, and they said, who boos a guy in front of his 78-year-old mother?
Yeah.
other 78-year-old mothers. Yeah. So this is the fun part. Further down, it said Dan Sr., one of Romney's closest advisors, has kept a tight grip on Ryan, traveling with him everywhere and making sure he hews to the directions of the Romney Brain Trust in Boston.
Wow.
He's probably on the phone with Sarah Palin.
Yeah. In parentheses.
Boy, I tell ya.
In parentheses, a brain trust rumor has it that refers to Ryan as Gilligan.
Oh!
Damn!
It's Mr. Howell and Gilligan. It's the Howell.
Which,
Howell
by the Gilligan. Way, that would make Romney buddy. Skipper. And let me break some news right here. Neither one of them is getting off the island. I'm just saying, they're both going to be stuck on that island. For a long time.
And they're, yes, they're both equally incompetent. Yeah.
For a
three-month
campaign. A three-month campaign.
All right. Dana and Marilyn, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dana.
Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
We're a little having too much fun.
I know. It's right? getting sweet, isn't it?
Wow.
I wanted to be the official biggest Hal Sparks fan of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, get in line.
If that's not taken.
Get in line.
I appreciate the effort, though, more than anything.
Right.
It would take a lot of work,
you.
I'm
no
sorry
cutting.
To say.
No cutting. All right, go ahead.
No, like I said, my son just, you know, we watch Lab Rats,
right.
And we just think you're fab.
Thank you.
Okay, so just, you know, as usual, a couple of things. I was just, Gretchen Carlson this morning said that... she feels that the polls are, you know, they're lying about the polls.
Sure, right. Of course
and
they
she
are.
Said,
yeah.
She said it's giving people who might not be decided subliminal messages.
Right.
That they might not go vote now because they're getting these subliminal
it's the
messages.
The Manchurian
so
voter.
So far ahead, it won't matter.
Right.
And
right.
then they put Dick Morris on. Dick Morris.
Dick Morris.
And,
I always read about everything.
He said that they're using the 2008 polls. He accused them of using the polls from 4 years
Dana,
ago.
Dana, here's what's most entertaining is they're already setting up the pre-story for why Mitt Romney lost in a landslide.
Exactly right. They're looking. Yeah, they're just totally reaching. And my second thing is, you know, seeing Newt Gingrich with Todd Akin.
Oh
I think
God.
It's despicable.
Oh yeah.
And this whole Ralph Reed thing. I sent you and Chris a copy of the form.
Right.
He's got this voter form. And it was on Rachel Maddow last night, and it's absolutely, it's despicable. I mean,
Newt Gingrich will go to, like, the opening of an envelope at this point.
Exactly.
I'm
know,
sorry, guy? The rapey guy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know. And I, you know, remember with President Obama and, you know, Bill Ayers and Reverend Wright.
Oh, totally.
He continually, you know, defend himself.
Yeah.
So why isn't Mitt Romney stepping away from these people
saying,
I don't agree with Ralph Reed or... Todd Akin, you know, he's not doing that.
Well, the plan is to step away. I mean, he's obviously cleared himself of Newt Gingrich a long time ago. And Todd Akin, they came out directly against because they didn't have a choice. And my favorite was that he kept saying, I would have used different words, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, he keeps saying, I would have used different words, like perhaps the Earth language is different than our syntax.
You were saying that even what he said about his wife, the plane incident.
Yeah, I don't think some of you realize how worried some of us were. I'm like, what do you mean some of us? Just say you. It's your wife. Just go. I don't think some of you realize how worried I was. My wife is in this plane and it's a scary process.
Some of us were worried about the wife unit person.
Being planted.
What?
Thing. Landing. Mayday. Mayday.
Ah. Right back on the
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What a fox!
Yeah, that brought us some dame.
You all know
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah, man.
We made sweet music in the band room, poetry during English class, and you don't want to know what we did in the multipurpose room.
Oh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks. I told him who the celebrity guest is in New York. He said squee.
Yeah.
Squee.
Yeah.
And also the celebrity guest for this Saturday in Seattle. Squee.
Very exciting.
Squee.
It's not the stench.
No, it is
not. No, it is not Mitt Romney, a.k.a. Stench.
A.k.a.
As
Paul
Ryan calls him now.
Stench McJenkins. By the way, both of them could call each other that. quite evenly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because
oh my God, Obama's pulling ahead in Wisconsin. I thought
right.
Paul Ryan was wildly popular in Wisconsin.
Yeah, isn't he?
Oh, speaking of the stints, did you see that a crowd in Ohio yesterday was chanting Ryan, Ryan, and Romney tried to get them to chant
Romney Ryan,
and they weren't having any of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have the audio of it if you'd like to hear
it.
Oh,
I would love to hear it.
It's quite a guy, isn't it, Paul Ryan? That's something. Wait a second. Romney Ryan, Romney Ryan, Romney Ryan. There we go. All right, that's great.
Oh, wow. Man.
You can just hear the stench.
Yeah.
That was, who had to ask him to clap for him? Which candidate was that?
Oh, it was Fred Thompson.
Oh.
Can I have a little applause?
Oh.
I'm going to
take
that now.
Somebody clap a little bit of the living room.
I'm pretty tired. I think I'll go home now.
This thing will get out of hand, we'll get out of hand quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Ezra Klein wrote almost the same thing about what's going to happen with Romney. It sounded like that Fred Thompson line. Yeah. Things are going to get bad for Romney, and they're going to get bad quickly. Oh, boy.
But it doesn't matter because they're using polls from 2008. That's why Mitt Romney's...
Sure. Well, we were saying Dick Morris and others are setting up the story for why it's not really...
Yeah.
You know what I would give anything to hear, Jim, is a conversation between Dick Morris and Rod Flair Mary after the day after the election.
Oh, my God. You'd be drenched in phlegm.
What happened was they used the old post of 2008. You know what it is? It's all those black people with the escalates full of... You know, you can't look like me.
Phlegm flying all over.
They tarp down like a Gallagher. Just
a giant
phlegm.
Pile of phlegm goes, I object. Excuse me for one moment. I would like to interrupt both of you while you're talking, but I've been sitting here long enough listening to this claptrap. As a pile of phlegm who has value in protecting lung tissue, I actually serve the greater good. Listen.
As a pile of phlegm, I have more purpose than Dick Morris.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Another thing.
Okay, let's go to Mike in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'd like to mention a comment that President Obama made during his acceptance speech regarding global warming. I hope, I pray that he will address this issue in his second term, in his hope to be for second term. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, it's the most important, underreported, undercovered issue that we have in the world today.
Yeah, well, at least we have a president that believes in science and the laws of, you know, aeronautical engineering.
Right, and that clean energy has actually been a priority since he got in office.
Right.
The entire time. You can track. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things they want to roll back. Romney's actually running these attack on coal ads. Why? Right. Why is the president attacking coal? And one of the reasons why certain coal mines are shutting down and why those workers are losing their jobs is because those companies are shifting to natural gas because that's where the boom is. And those guys are losing their jobs because they're opening up jobs in Montana and the Dakotas and China.
Here's a story about, you know, how we thought that Mitt Romney had just insulted pretty much every country in the world and
stench?
In one way or another every American.
Yeah.
Turns out it's more than just 47% of us. 96% of people have received some government assistance at some point. So he's actually...
Oh, he hates the 97%.
Right.
Not just 47. Okay.
Mitt Romney, of course, wrote off 47% as dependent on the government, but he also got the math wrong. It turns out 96% of Americans have used government assistance at one point or another in their lives, according to a new study ranging from...
I don't care about those people.
...to grant programs. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's not my job to worry
about.
But
wait, there's more.
Oh.
He's pre-insulted... The other 4%. Young adults who are not yet eligible for many policies account for most of the remaining 4%. So he will insult them eventually.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Just not yet.
I don't care about 100% of the American people.
Yeah. My campaign is about disenfranchising 100% of the American people.
The survey does not include government activity.
I'll be in Switzerland if you need
that benefits everyone, national defense, the interstate highway system, food safety regulations, only tangible benefits. And even there, he's insulted 96%.
Food safety? Who needs that?
Okay.
Just play Russian roulette with your canned stew from 1924.
Dinty Moore.
Yeah.
Dinty Moore stew. That's when your mom and dad had a night out.
Yeah.
Their stew. Liz in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Liz.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to see if I could be the official someone in the chat room today.
Ah, yay!
Yeah. Could you be more specific? You're like a Mitt Romney proposal.
Right.
Well, Chris picked up one of my comments regarding the way Ryan fishes one day, so he referred to me as someone in the chat room.
Oh, okay. Great. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Liz.
So that one.
It's,
okay.
Also, it's my birthday today, and if I could get Tom Brokaw really quick, and it was my daughter's birthday yesterday, to say happy birthday, Natalie, Leela, and Elizabeth.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Natalie. What's the second
one? Leela.
Leela and Elizabeth. Happy birthday to you.
My birthday was yesterday, too.
I'm from Aloha.
Oh, happy birthday, Libras.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Libras. Live from Lillehammer.
Happy birthday, Libras. I'm from Aloha.
Awesome. What I really wanted to talk about was Paul Ryan and what we really think about him in Wisconsin. He had a town hall meeting last go-round, and not only did he charge admission to get into that town hall, he had an old man arrested for asking a question that he didn't like.
That's right.
Now, I wish I could tell you what the question was, but just, I mean, that's just unbelievable.
Wow.
And Ryan, Walker, and Reince remind me of the three-headed dragon that, or three-headed dog, Sturbius.
Right.
It's disgusting, and we are in Wisconsin. Is there totally
is. There
for Obama.
There he is. There's a three-headed dog.
Liz, what is that?
Oh, that's my doggy Storm, my rescue pup.
Aww. What kind of dog?
She's a mutt, she's a Dutch shepherd, and a unknown father.
And an elephant.
Oh.
Wow. Yes.
And an elephant, and maybe a Great Dane.
That sounds like a hound dog to me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very hound.
It sounds a little like Reince Priebus. But yeah. All right.
Reince Priebus!
Reince Priebus, everything is going fine! I would be out by the bunker pouring gasoline on myself.
Well, we actually decided sound like he sounds a little whiny. A little droopy dog, a little Truman Capote.
You see me between Truman Capote and droopy dog.
And a little Joe Lieberman.
I'm writing a book right now about a murder in...
He said that they have a...
nowhere. Haven't got a title yet.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, fan letter for Jim Ward.
What?
Let's see, who's this from? Aaron says, hi, Mama. Thanks to Jim Ward, my husband is ready to kill me because I won't quit randomly yelling out, Reince Priebus! In public with the Nazi fervor.
Rachel Maddow's been doing it, too. She's
also, Jim's impersonation of Reince sounding like a cross between Truman, Capote, and Droopy, it made my morning. Also missed the portion of the show where Road Flair Mary first called in and got her nickname. When I heard you describe this morning how she sounds when she smokes Road Flares, I scared my cats, Pinky and Pawpaw, half to death.
Oh.
Pawpaw curiously looks at the TV when I'm at home watching on Current, and she hears you gushing handsome and romantic about Max and Fred. I replay it, and she just looks and looks at the TV, tilting her head. It's precious.
That's adorbs. Adorbs.
Pawpaw, think you're handsome. Okay, let me also applaud Chris for having Dana Loesch pig squeal as part of your permanent sound effects.
Squeal louder. Squeal louder. Squeal louder.
P.S. How does Roger Hedgehog, I mean Cock, get booked on Bill... She said she corrected herself immediately.
Just saying you keep getting that wrong. It's Roger Hedgehog.
Get booked on Bill Maher and not you guys. Mm. I don't know. Somebody asked Bill Maher why Roger Hedgehog.
Cock! Actually,
don't
he's
say that about Bill.
He's changed his name to Topiary Schmantz.
Schmantz.
So he would
Schmantz and longer.
And he would get mocked less?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Keith in Milwaukee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Keith.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Mooks. Happy birthday, Hal.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, like I tell my wife, who's also a Libra, that she's always pro-choice.
Right.
Hi! That's a Libra joke, I guess. We can make a decision! Okay.
I don't have that problem.
You guys mentioned before, talking about Paul Ryan and his Palin-esque going rogue,
mm-hmm.
and somebody mentioned that he may be going back to Congress. Well, I don't think he may be going back to Congress.
Right.
How hilarious would that be?
Well,
if he lost both.
You won't have to complain about not going. Think about this. The thing that has helped him go back to Congress time after time besides weak candidates is the fact that there's no TV market in the first congressional district.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so this time, the TV ads are going to be run by the Obama campaign.
Right.
Oh, isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
Oh, by the way, did he? What was he? Was he basically implying that marriage equality is not a human right?
It's not an American,
not an American value or a human right.
Right. Because our rights are defined by nature, and nature's God.
The things you talk about, like traditional marriage and family and entrepreneurship, these aren't values that are indicative to any one person or race or creed or color. These are American values. These are universal human values.
Ah. So I'm neither American nor human anymore?
No.
Yeah, tradition is directly related to creeds. Mm. The idea is that your tribe or your group or your religious sect has a specific plan for how you dictate relationships.
Right. Yes.
And we don't even have...
And your point is I'm a dildo-smoking non-human.
Right.
I'm not American.
Well, that's a totally separate conversation from what we're talking about. That's just true. But that has nothing to do with your right to not be.
45 minutes after
the hour. Along those lines, headline...
Yes.
Hong Kong billionaire offers $65 million to any man who successfully woos his lesbian daughter.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Okay, I'm game.
Jim's up to the challenge.
Of course he is.
All right, 45 minutes after the hour.
Woo! I could use the scratch.
All right, she's just now had her itch scratched right.
And you know what? She's kind of hot. She's of the lipstick variety.
Damn.
Hang on a second.
Wait, you're not a man. You'd be like, you wouldn't get the money.
Yeah, she put her
I'll
hat
dress
in
up.
Hair like...
I'll dress up like in Yentl.
Yeah.
Right. 45 minutes after the hour.
But can you hear me?
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Damn it, Jim. You made me snarf on my keyboard again. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Dressed in yellow, she says hello. Come sit next to me, you fine fellow. You run over there without a second to lose. And what comes next? Hey, bust the move. You want,
just bust the move. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
I'm having too much fun during the breaks reading all the news articles about.
We were just saying, just the picture tells you everything you need to know about where the Romney-Ryan campaign is. It's Mitt Romney going, and Ryan is behind him.
Yeah, so in Ohio, and this is, by the way, in Ohio, for Pete's sake, Romney said that Obama did not raise taxes during his first 4 years, and that he's going to in his next 4 years, and does that sound like a good idea? Well, they've been running on the idea that he's the biggest tax raiser and government grower and liberally Muslim ever.
Yes.
I don't know what that means.
Most Muslim.
Yep. And so when he says this, he literally said, he's got one new idea. I admit this. He has one thing he did not do in his first 4 years, and he's going to do this in his next 4 years, which is to raise taxes. Is there anybody who thinks that raising taxes will help grow the economy? And you could see Ryan right behind him going, like, did you just admit he didn't raise taxes? Man.
And meanwhile, back in the real world, President Obama, 10-point lead in Ohio.
Right.
25-point advantage among women. Have I been saying that I just have not seen anger among women like this? Romney holds an 8-point lead among men. The president holds a 35-point edge among voters under 35 years old. 62% of Ohio voters say the auto bailout was a success. Mr. Obama also holds a huge lead among women in Pennsylvania. His overall advantage, 12 points. In Pennsylvania, the president holds a 21-point lead among women, evenly split among men. In Florida, Obama over Romney has risen from 3 points before the conventions to 9 points today. Ruh-roh. Oh, dear. Again, his improved performance among women, white voters, and seniors. Here's my favorite thing in this, though, is what I've been saying. Because I could be wrong. I think the presidential thing kind of pretty much bye-bye. The poll found Democratic Senate candidates are leading their Republican opponents in all three states. In Florida, Bill Nelson leads Connie Mack 53-39%. In Ohio, Sherrod Brown leading 50-40%. And in Pennsylvania, Bob Casey leads 49-43%.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So down ticket. Going down ticket, the stench.
Well, you're gonna have what's left of the Republican Party, which is pretty much the remnants of what an actual party is. It's the hangers on,
right.
The people who wear the R jerseys.
A little wiggy. Yeah,
they should just call themselves the Whigs.
Exactly, and maybe, just maybe, we will actually move into a position where it's the Democrats debating the Green Party for the next two decades, and we actually have substantive policy issues and real governing going on,
yeah.
Because you have two parties who actually look to the future, hoping it actually exists, as opposed to part of some sort of Armageddon dust storm that will, you know, what I'm looking for is a presidency that's a lot like a super volcano. You know, it blacks out the sky, kills all the crops.
I'd like to be president of Waterworld.
Right, yes.
Carl in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carl.
Yes, hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah, well, it rankles me when I hear that Romney's ahead with veterans and people that are 65, because I'm both.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a young man, I worked with, I was very young man then, teenager almost, worked at American Motors. I had a lot of respect for George Romney.
Yeah, a lot of people did. My dad did. My dad worked with George Romney.
Yes, and I hate to say it, but I was leaning towards being a Republican back in those days. I liked your dad, even Goldwater. I think Goldwater wouldn't even be able to get into the Republican Party right now.
No, sir, he would not.
And it rankles me that when he talks about the 47%, because in 1967, I didn't pay any income taxes because I was in a combat unit in Vietnam.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. By the way, there was another poll that was just out the other day, Hal, that we were saying that a lot of that, those, you know, common wisdom, that, you know, all veterans are going to vote Republican, it's not holding true in a lot of these polls. So I don't even know that that's true, that, veterans are blah,
right.
blah, blah.
Well, it's interesting when you see how the AARP has a very good get out the vote mechanic, and you can disenfranchise Hispanics by their name. You can go through a list of possible voters and pick out the ones that are Hispanic. You can even arguably think you're doing it with black voters as well by using what you would believe are statistically more black sounding names, Washington and these kind of things,
named after presidents,
exactly. Which you'd be wrong a good deal of the time, but you can see how they would do it. But the issue is they can't do that with women, and they can't do that with older voters. They just can't. So what they're doing is making it harder for them to get a photo ID. One of the ways they're trying to disenfranchise the older voters who don't like Romney is make sure it's harder for them to get one. And then make sure the churches drive you around because they think everybody who goes to church is just going to automatically vote for Romney, even though evangelicals aren't friendly to him.
Well, you know it's a bad one. Even Romney surrogates are admitting. Did you see Chris Christie?
Yeah.
So if the election were held tomorrow, that'd be a problem. That'd be bad.
Big problem.
Boom.
And I know for big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ann Coulter, because she turned out to be right.
We had a bad week. If the election were going to be held tomorrow, it'd be a problem. And there's a lot of ground to cover in the next 42 days. Oh, yes, there is.
Uh-huh. And he covers a lot of ground.
Yes, he does cover a lot of ground.
He shades a lot of ground, too.
Simmer down.
What? Hey.
Simmer down now. No matter where you look, obviously the CBS News, New York Times, the best news for Obama just out today, right? The National Journal, though, writing race is stabilizing for Obama, remains remarkably stable, which is good news for President Obama and Democrats, bad news for Mitt Romney and Republicans. Leading Democratic and Republican pollsters now, strategists privately say the Obama lead is around 4 or 5 points and has been holding pretty much steady. North Carolina and New Hampshire look about even right now. Virginia, some are saying Obama's up by a point or so. Others say by as many as 4. So, you know, it just depends on what poll you're looking at. He's ahead in this one. And Florida poll results range from even to Obama ahead by 4. Obama's leading Nevada, seems to be between 2 and 5 in Colorado. I mean, it just, I love that we're watching this today about Romney's path to victory.
Could happen this way.
If a meteor...
Look, a monkey threw out my butt.
Yeah.
The three biggest headaches for Republicans, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. I mean, I don't understand what the path could be.
Rename it the Stench Munster campaign.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stinky. Look, everybody, it's the Stench Munster. How about this? You know, I just listening to... Stop it. When Randy Rhoads is in a commercial break, I subject myself to Sean Hannity sometimes.
Wow. Jeez.
There, yeah. I said it. And it just literally, the theme is Obama's foreign policy has been a disaster. It's been a disaster. Why, looky here. Americans trust the federal government to handle international affairs than almost any point in nearly a decade, according to a new Gallup poll.
What do you know?
What do you know about that?
66% have a great deal or a fair amount of trust in the federal government's ability to handle international problems.
Yeah. Well, of
amazing
course,
what happens when you let adults run the place.
That's right. To be fair, there's violence in the Middle East. Oh, wait, there's always been violence in the Middle East.
That's new. Yeah, that's brand new.
It's never, ever happened before.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, in the president's speech at the UN yesterday, wow, we will talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, we have some crunchy audio goodness from that and much more. As we continue, it's Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
What do you know about that?
What's
hey.
Not great about that? And Stephanie Brown, Obama-Biden National African-American Vote Director,
mm-hmm.
will join us as well. 58 mm-hmm. minutes after the hour, we roll along Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yahoo! Of course it is. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook. We are off to Seattle Saturday.
Seattle, Washington, are you tired of all the negative campaigning? Well, the answer is coming straight to you. Shake it off with liberal laughs, courtesy of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. On Saturday, September 29th, the Paramount Theater will welcome John Peoplething, Hal Sparks, and Stephanie Miller live on stage. Tickets are available online at stgpresents.org or by calling 877-784-4800. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. Seattle, this is your last chance before the election to experience pure progressive nirvana.
Yeah!
Yay. Mm-hmm. And we have a special surprise celebrity guest on panel.
Very cool.
Whee!
Who could it be? Bill Gates.
It just gets better and better, our panels. Okay, Diane in Kirkland, Washington. Steph, you should go wine tasting when you get to Seattle. Can't wait to see you Saturday at the show. Woot! We have over 70 wine tasting rooms in Woodinville,
this
Washington, just a short ride from Seattle. Tell the limo driver to take you wine tasting. Oh, that'll be good for the show. I'll stop at all 70.
Steph's not allowed to have any red wine before the show.
Bring Roland, too. Just make sure he covers his balls. Diane in Kirkland.
What?
Well, a guy saw them on vacation.
Oh, well, he saw Roland. Your cooter too.
He did. Well,
so it was reciprocal.
So you're even. Yeah.
Who is this?
Roland.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're sharing a hotel room in Seattle.
Yeah. That's like weird. That's like
listen,
somebody saying
money.
My cat saw my dog naked. So what? They live that way and they don't care.
Like having summer parties.
Oh my God,
what's
my
wrong?
Cat and my dog are walking around naked and they can see
by
each other.
By the way, did you hear what is? It's good news that we're saving money on the hotel room because Roland and I are big queer baits that share a room. You know why?
Why?
We have to hire extra security. You want to know why? Westboro Baptist Church is protesting.
In Seattle?
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't they just go after the entire city of Seattle? I mean,
wouldn't they just burst into flames?
God hates sexy liberals, I guess.
Yeah, by just entering Seattle.
We need to make some big, some reverse signs, you know, some fun ones, yeah. You know.
They hate sexy liberals, God hates Swedes, in addition
dog
to...
Dog hates gaffes and have a picture of Seamus.
All right, yeah. Wow, this is something I hadn't thought of yet. Classy Tennessee frat boys drink wine with their butts. It's a new butt chugging is a new...
Butt chugging?
It's a new thing.
Yeah. Why? This is why I was never in a frat. Well,
University of Tennessee, a 20-year-old...
Because you can do this on your own. You don't even need help.
20-year-old frat guy ended up in the hospital with severe alcohol poisoning after having wine squirted up to his
butt. Oh, right, yeah.
Wow.
That is a big
butt
one.
Butt chugging.
Yeah.
Well, there was that thing where women were soaking tampons in vodka.
Yeah.
And
I can see Roland and I showing up.
Drinking it that way.
Yep. Smashed from butt chugging at wine tasting rooms. We'll be like, you know, ad fab. Yeah, it's time for the show!
Hey, although, they're going to be onto something. Maybe you can get drunk without the calories.
Hey.
Jim, don't try it. Don't. Do not try
really?
It.
Really? You're looking at it as a diet plan? Oh, God.
Isn't everything.
All right. Ezra Klein, or as I call him, Urza.
Yeah, he loves that.
Urza Clean.
Romney's nightmare scenario in the Washington Post. If things don't start looking better for Mitt Romney soon, they're going to get a lot worse for him and very quickly, as Fred Thompson would say.
These things go bad quick. I need a nap. Can I have some applause?
To understand Romney campaign's nightmare scenario, you need to understand the Romney campaign's much vaunted finances. If you compare just the Romney and Obama camps, Obama's actually got a cash advantage. Romney's financial advantage only comes clear when you add in the super PACs. They've raised $150 million, the Republican ones. The pro-Obama super PAC, Priorities USA, has raised only $34 million. which leads to Romney's nightmare scenario. If things don't turn around for Romney soon, the super PACs may give up the task of electing him president and turn to the task of encircling Obama's second term with a Republican House and a Republican Senate.
Right.
Consider the numbers they're looking at. A week ago, Obama was leading by 3.1% in Real Clear, you know, the average of polls.
Right.
The plan was for Romney, the RNC, the super PACs to flood the airwaves, creating the conditions for Romney to mount a comeback. 1 week later, Obama is up by 3.7% in the polls and up to the 77.6% in the model. That's his chance of winning 77.
Oh.
Instead of narrowing the gap, Romney had a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad week. They're saying in the last 15 elections, Ezra writes, for every candidate who's led in the polls at this point has gone on to win in November. It would be literally unprecedented for Romney to mount a comeback at this stage. Mm-hmm.
Well, if he was a super candidate who'd just been through a rough patch, you might even consider it. But what's happening, literally, is that the more familiar people get with him, the worse it is.
Right. And now he is basically stuck with denying numbers and, laws of science. Romney campaign
manager. So he's a standard Republican.
Yeah, the campaign manager's internal polling shows a much closer race in Ohio.
Oh, yeah,
than
totally.
The public polls.
Dude, we asked ourselves and we thought we're awesome.
Yeah, so every other poll that has been taken in Ohio is wrong.
We took our internal poll. I asked Romney if he liked himself, and he said am I supposed to? I think I did. Did I say whatever I said? If I liked myself yesterday, I stand by that.
He said, the public polls are what the public polls are. I have great faith in our data. I guess that was the data that told you Mitt Romney would be a spectacular candidate.
Oh, yeah. The one that said, that. By the way, of all those polls that they took during the primaries, it said the guy that had the best chance of beating Obama was Romney by 56% to everybody else in the lineup.
By the way, did Mitt Romney, is it me, or did he inadvertently point out what a bad idea the Citizens United decision was?
I just think the most important aspect in being able to have a productive relationship between the teachers' unions and the districts and the states that they're dealing with is that the person sitting across the table from them should not have received the largest campaign contributions from the teachers' union itself. Mm. The largest contributors to the Democratic Party are the teachers' unions, the federal teachers' unions. And so if they can elect someone, then that person is supposed to be representing the public vis-a-vis the teachers' union, but actually most of their money came from the teachers' union. It's an extraordinary conflict of interest. Yes. That's something I think is a problem and should be addressed.
Yes. The vast majority of the American people think the Citizens United decision was awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the exact argument.
Yeah, for why he should give all of Sheldon Adelson's money back today.
And so is that what he said next, Chris? Oh. Maybe it's not in the transcript.
Yeah.
And so
that's why, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to give back.
Take this and shove it up your ass, Sheldon. Is that what he said next?
Yeah.
He did not elaborate.
He said, hey, Sheldon, you can butt chug your donation.
Right.
Because Romney's not going to butt chug it.
No. I don't
know. He's got to butt chug
it. He would double down on the Citizens United decision and, of course, appoint even more conservative Supreme Court justices. So, just so inconsistent. So weird.
I've been backstage butt chugging Sprite to get all my gussied up for this thing. And I'm going to look to my right and I'm going to stammer. And then I'm going to look to my left and I'm going to stammer. And then I'm going to look to my right and I'm going to stammer. And I'm going to look to my left and I'm going to stammer.
And
watch
all
of this. It drives me crazy how he's just like, he looks like a robot who's surrounded by other robots and is having a malfunction. Like, I'm supposed to defend myself, and yet my prime directive says do not kill. And yet my lasers
these
are prime.
And yet I feel I must kill the queen.
Yeah. There's a contradiction to each
Mitt
other.
Mitt Romney.
If there's one thing we've learned in this election season, by the way, it is that a few words from Bill Clinton can do a man a lot of good. All I got to do now is wait a couple of days for that bounce to happen. So.
See, because Bill Clinton introduced him at the Clinton Global Initiative, and so... Yes. Now he's waiting for that bounce.
Okay.
I'm utilizing humor now.
I could see what happens is words, no matter what shape, form, or order they come in, always are supposed to benefit me.
Yeah.
So anything that someone says that is good is, yeah.
Yeah. Amy in Illinois. Z. Hi, Amy.
Romney's a whiny baby, just like whines.
Just like
yeah,
Reince.
Reince.
Oh, yeah.
Reince.
Reince Priebus.
Thank you.
He's a whiny baby. I noticed Romney's crowd was chanting, Ryan, Romney, Ryan, Romney. Right, and he looked so uncomfortable when he was like, no. And if you noticed, it's Romney first. And if you noticed, right then, Paul looked really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I predict they're very jealous of each other and they'll wreck each other's careers.
Yeah, we have that. Like, it's worth listening to the most awkward moment thus far in a really awkward campaign.
It's quite a guy, isn't it, Paul Ryan? That's something? Wait a second, wait a second. Romney Ryan, Romney Ryan, Romney Ryan. Oh. There we go. All right, wow. That's great.
Wow.
Boy, that's a lot of spontaneous enthusiasm there.
To his, by the way, in his defense, he's used to being around people who are telling the crowds around him how to react to what he's going to possibly maybe say.
Let me just say one thing. He is not the yell leader that George W. Bush was.
Mm-mm.
Nice. Do we have any footage of George W. Bush being a cheerleader?
I don't know. In pictures.
I've seen still pictures.
Have you? Okay. I've seen still pictures, but I haven't seen any video footage.
Give me an I. Give me a B. Give me a U.
I'm not a good
What's
speller.
What spell? Liberty.
I'm not a strong speller. Shelly in Pennsylvania. Hi, Shelly.
Hello there, girl. How are you? And don't give me hell about my voice.
Shelly, I love you.
All right, I'm a smoker, but I'm not married.
Okay, good.
Girl. This scum in Pennsylvania that started this horrifying voter ID law in our state is none other than this Daryl Metcalf and his cohort Mike Terzai. These dogs are responsible for so many people not being able to vote in our state who must travel to southern states to locate birth certificates, which possibly cannot be found.
Yep.
They don't have current electrical bills or whatever to prove their status. This is just horrifying to me as an individual in this country.
Yeah,
now,
Shelley, that's a good point that people don't seem to understand. You are asking people at a certain age to travel to a different state. I mean, that's not really an egregious thing.
And I don't understand how our Supreme Court in Pennsylvania can drop this back down on the lower courts where they are so influenced by the local Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, well, that's exactly why. I mean, no,
yeah,
really.
Yes, because you said you had answered your own question.
And that's why.
Right? Asked and answered.
That's why you vote every election. That's why you make sure everybody you know votes every election. That's why you make them pay attention to down ticket and judgeships.
Help somebody get an ID. That's what you can do. Help somebody that needs some help if
that's what I said I wanted for my birthday yesterday on Twitter. I said that the best gift you can give me is make sure you're registered and can vote. And if you can, get somebody else to.
Right. Be a pest. To your friends and neighbors and family. All right. 19 minutes after the hour, right back. More Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
So, who is responsible for these outrages?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hal's so physical.
He is.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour.
You really are acting out the entire video.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I've said it once, I've said it many times, haven't I, Chris LeBoy, the finest physical comedian in the entire country, in addition to being hilariously smart and funny. And you can see it live on stage Saturday in Seattle.
That's true.
Even
your
T-Rex impression is very physical, too.
Oh, yes. Well, now, we've got... it's hard to pick which one I do because I have the monkey and the koala bear as well that a lot of people have been requesting. And the three-toed sloth, which is also very popular. I don't know how I'm going to fit all these into a zoo.
He's an entire comedic zoo. He's a traveling zoo.
My next stand-up special is going to be Hal Sparks Goes to the Zoo. I'm just going to spend the entire hour describing what it's like to go to the zoo from my experience, and it'll be awesome. P.S. Lab Rats also is a great outlet for my physical comedy. Thank you. On Disney XD.
A little Hal Sparks infomercial.
Yeah.
All right. 1-800.
Are you appearing anywhere soon?
Saturday in Seattle.
That's right. And then I'll be in Madison, Wisconsin the following Saturday. And then West Palm Beach. That's right. I'm coming to West Palm Beach in 3 weeks.
Why are you talking like a morning radio puker?
Right.
We let the laughs, the fun, the gaffes of House Marks in the U.S. Palm Beach Province.
And then the big one, Sexy Liberal Palooza at the Beacon.
Yeah.
October 27th in New York.
So exciting.
With a huge celebrity guest on panel.
Huge.
I have a special kind of surprise for that weekend as well, but I'll have to wait till we get closer before I actually talk about it. I think I've got a 2-week window before that I can start talking about it.
You're a teasy, little imp this morning.
I learned that from the Stench himself. Gilligan and the Stench.
Gilligan and the Stench.
Which is a children's book I'm writing about the Romney campaign.
Wow.
Gilligan and
How
the Stench.
Awesome.
Hello.
What's that smell in the bottom of the boat?
Theo in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Theo.
Romney, little
Hello,
buddy.
Hello, Theo. Did
Romney,
I do that correctly?
No.
Buddy.
Did you?
Yes, I did. Okay. See, you always want to blame me, and I did it right. Okay. I don't know. Oh, no. Are we having a phone meltdown again? Let's. Jason in D.C.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Dale.
Hiya.
Dale loves you in Queer as Folk.
Why, thank you.
One of my favorite shows. Hey, one of the things I think that we need to remember is the abuses that took place of our civil liberties under Bush.
Mm-hmm.
It was awful.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the Democratic platform in 2008. We said we were going to do away with the Patriot Act. But the funny thing happened along the way. The ACLU, on the 10th anniversary of 9/11, came out and basically determined, in conjunction with a number of articles, Glenn Greenwald of Salon magazine, that Obama had done more to abuse our civil liberties than Bush has. And the left has been completely quiet on this.
Yeah,
The NSA.
I read a lot of Glenn's stuff, and I have to fervently disagree with his conclusions on that. I will absolutely agree that they have carried forward some of the sort of extrajudicial elements of the people who are already in Guantanamo Bay, although while trying to, by the way, shut it down. The president ordered the shutdown of Guantanamo Bay, and do you know why it wasn't shut down? Do you know why? I'm asking you.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, he's gone.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
the reason it's not shut down is because Congress would not allow money to be appropriated to move those prisoners to the United States, to the continent, so that they could be tried.
And in fairness, some Democrats caved on that,
too. Oh, no question.
But it's one of those things, Hal, that drives me crazy that people go, oh, he had all the help he could. Anyway, he didn't get done what he said he was going to do.
Yeah, right.
He tried. He said he was going to close Guantanamo. He tried to close Guantanamo, largely because of Republicans. And some Democrats that got us
right. We have a government with three equal branches, and unfortunately, two of those other branches are hell bent on keeping Guantanamo open.
Yeah. So yeah, but that was one of those things where I just go, you know, you can't just say, oh, it's something Obama promised, and then just totally.
And that whole idea that he's worse than Bush on it is just cartoonish.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay.
And Greenwald's, I mean, he just, you know, yes. Don't even get me started.
Hello, Tony in Washington. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you today?
Good. Go ahead.
Protect.
All right. First of all, I'm a Latino Mexican-American.
Uh-huh.
I'm 61 years old, and I've never voted in a presidential election ever before, basically, because politicians lie. And my wife says that I need to tell somebody else about it. For the first time, I am going to be voting for President Obama.
Yay!
And partly because of the Koch brothers and the Republicans trying to make sure that they stop the Latino vote and the elders and young people. And,
yep. You know what, Tony? That's what I've been saying is I think this is going to make more people vote because guess what? It's a right. It's not a privilege. And a lot of people have died for this right. And I think these voter suppression things are mobilizing people even more.
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't realize how valuable something is until you might not have it anymore. I mean, and that's a big part of our kind of we've had a bit of a slacker ride, especially during the 90s, where people just laid off of voting and laid off being citizens.
Yep. 29 minutes after the hour, more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Take it anymore. He doesn't treat
Stephanie Miller.
Right. Why isn't he grabbing her tush?
he It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, Hump Days with Hal Sparks continues. Paul in Boston. Hi, Paul. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Stephanie?
Good. Go ahead.
I just wanted to remind your listeners that September 26th in 1914, the Federal Trade Commission was created to promote consumer protection. And how Elizabeth Warren has picked up that that challenge on behalf of us consumers, and she's doing great up here. I mean, I'm in a couple of unions actually, and I'm a Teamster mainly, and I'm with IATSE.
Teamsters are hot.
Yeah, and IATSE is pretty hot. They're the sexiest union in the country, I think. IATSE is. I've seen that on a shirt.
Yeah, I was at the DNC. A bunch of Teamsters walked in. I got a little hot. I have to tell you.
Yeah.
But she is, yes, it was a bit worrisome with her and Scott Brown for a time, but she, I mean, I think that...
What, he's running on questioning her heritage? Like,
well,
he
really doesn't have anything else. I mean, right. his voting record shows that he's pretty much straight up, Republican.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a couple of Buck the Trend ones just for, that they gave him for visibility's sake, and they'll give you a couple of... bills to run on, essentially. Like, we got this down. That's what, when they're whipping
union,
votes, that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
That's,
speaking of union, is this Paul Ryan being very, very pro-union? It seems like Scott Walker, once football gets involved, everybody's really pro-union.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys watch that Packer game last night? I mean, give me a break. It is time to get the real refs.
You mean the union
and
ones?
You know what? Uh-huh. It reminds me of President Obama and the economy. If you can't get it right, it's time to get out. I half think that these refs work part-time for the Obama administration.
My favorite is how flat the joke falls.
Because
if you look at the video, he's reading clearly off his podium, and you're like, because he's been told to make a joke about the football stuff. Like, hey, we discussed this joke. Yeah. Remember in the meeting yesterday when it was kind of funny then? It'll be hilarious now that you have to read it.
These are the, by the way, I love this. Gawker gave us the non-sports fans guide to the NFL replacement referee fiasco. Here are the fun facts for those of us non-sports people. The Seattle Seahawks played the Green Bay Packers. The Seahawks are down by 5 going into the game's final seconds. Russell Wilson throws a Hail Mary.
Hail Mary
The Seahawks ball-throwing man threw the ball toward the point-scoring area, but the Packers tackling man caught the ball before the Seahawks ball-catching man did an interception. This should have ended the game with the Packers winning. Instead, the referees, after some initial confusion, declared the Seahawks ball-catching man had caught the ball and scored touchdown, ending the game, making the Seahawks the winners. Why did the referees make such a bad call? Because they're not real NFL-level referees. They're replacements. The NFL has locked out the referees' union in an attempt to force the refs to accept new employment terms. Apparently, one of the replacement refs was fired from the Lingerie Football League for incompetence.
Really?
Yes.
Well, he was probably looking at the girls.
The union, football league said this, the call will stand even though it was wrong. Huh?
My girlfriend used to play in the Lingerie Football League,
really?
And that is some serious game playing. I'm just going to say for the record, she's got a great arm, and a lot of these refs were just, I mean, they didn't do good calls because they feared for their lives.
Yeah.
They were going to get,
I love this. Scott Walker demands the return of the unionized NFL referees. So that's a new position for him, that whole pro-union thing.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Except he tried to blame it all on Obama.
I think they must have been working for Obama.
Green Bay Packers were up to win by a blown call. Union-busting Scott Walker, a Packers fan, took to Twitter and demanded the return of the league's unionized officials. Oh, isn't that rich?
Wow.
That belongs in the Isn't It Ironic file. By the way, here's a fun fact. Multiple Packer players had urged Wisconsinites to vote against Walker in the recall. Someone was saying, football, Hal, one of the most socialized, sports.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, companies.
Taxpayers paying to support private industry without any direct evidence that it actually benefits the community overall any more than any other kind of introduction of a business would. You could open a hotel and probably have just as much cascading value to the surrounding community as far as restaurants and clothing stores and the like.
Yep.
You wouldn't have to give them whatever $40 billion to build a stadium that looks like a spaceship that crashed into the side of a mountain.
Dean in Pittsburgh. Hi, Dean. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks.
Hey, How you doing? Last hour I heard one of your callers say that he's really concerned about the climate crisis, or he might have called it global warming, and that he hopes if President Obama's reelected, he'll do more to address it. And I hope he understands, and that people who heard him, I hope also understand that President Obama's not going to be able to do much of anything about that without a Democratic Congress.
That's right.
Right.
And some people might not also know. Now, I work in Western Pennsylvania as a volunteer with both the Obama campaign and some congressional candidates here. With the Democratic Congress in 2009, that stimulus included $90 billion that was invested in clean energy jobs.
Right.
And, you know, and I need people to not just vote for Democrats for Congress, because the odds are still slim. They're saying that we can overcome Republicans, the majority, because of all the congressional redistricting they did.
In the House, the boundaries. Right.
But also tell your friends in other states that, you know, if they have a Republican congressperson, every single one of them voted against anything that would fight the climate crisis, anything to create clean energy.
Dean, I've said it over and over again. It absolutely is not just about the president. It's about getting him a Congress he can work with. Because, you know, that's the thing is you look at issue versus issue. The one thing in all these polls, the American people are hugely behind the president on pretty much every issue.
Oh, yeah.
If you are... give him somebody he can work with that can do more of the stuff that you agree with.
Seven out of ten Americans now expect Obamacare to be implemented fully.
Right.
And have no problem with that.
Yep. Gene in Columbus. Hi, Gene. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead.
I think what goes under the wire is the effect that Republicans like the Knott brothers, the billionaire Knott brothers, have on the control of gas prices at the pump.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I have a book I just wrote that highlights this in detail called The War on the American People. And it really outlines the effect that these people are having on our gas prices. The profits that they're making is unbelievable.
Yeah. The oil companies.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I to this day, I will never, as long as I live, understand why we give oil companies subsidies. If someone can explain
either.
That to me, okay.
They're hurting.
Oh, by the way, speaking of health care, ER doctors admit you suck. Mitt Romney's comments on the 60 Minutes saying
good
that
grief.
Emergency rooms provide care to people who don't have insurance drew a rebuke from a group representing emergency room doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
if you have a heart attack, you don't just die in your apartment. What you do is, you go to, the emergency room, we send an ambulance for you, and then you lose everything you have, and your bank account gets emptied out because you can't afford.
Head of the American College of Emergency Physicians said emergency care is not health insurance, which you think he might know, but apparently.
Considering he actually said that.
Yes.
4 years ago. He said specifically, that's
not. Well, it misunderstands the whole point. It's like, yes. That's why the healthcare system is broken, because some people use the emergency room for primary care or their only care, and then we all pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Jerry in Nashville. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jer.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
I disagree with you almost all the time, but I respect your whole crew. You've always
Thank
been very
you.
Well informed.
Thank you.
Let me nitpick on one thing about the civil liberties when you mentioned that Congress had blocked Obama. You were correct.
Mm-hmm.
But Congress blocked Obama while Pelosi was still in charge. So it wasn't.
You're talking about Gitmo?
Yes. When they did the block, Pelosi was still in charge. So it wasn't some Democrats.
Right. But that's where we had some, and that's what she was pointing out, was that some Democrats drifted over and gave them enough of a vote slide to do that.
A majority of Democrats, or else Nancy would have never brought it to the floor. So that's
right. I admitted that some Democrats
right.
caved on it.
Did.
That's
it,
why.
It,
right.
But the.
So what's
my
the
main
problem?
Point is.
The point, but
my main point is.
So you're crediting the president, but not crediting Pelosi's Congress. Essentially, is what you're saying. Is it
I'm not making a point of who's right or who's wrong. I'm just saying that he was blocked from moving the Gitmo by Pelosi as much as any given one Republican. So it's not some Democrats; it was a majority
of Democrats.
Jerry, but
that's one issue. We're saying he was blocked in a provably unprecedented way.
I want to limit this to. Civil rights. So let me make another civil rights point. Is he is obviously the worst civil rights president we have, and this is why I
How's that?
Well, quite obviously. What?
Is because he executed a citizen of the United States without an advocate for the defense, without any judicial involvement, without any judge
jury.
Who are you talking about?
He's talking about the drone strike on Alawahi, the guy who...
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me add one other thing.
Sure.
Anything we think we know about Alawahi came from the administration. So we have no independent...
No, that's not true. The Guardian and other places actually confirmed that that's exactly what he did. It was the question of whether or not that was reason enough to do it. Now, would you agree that we have had, since we've had a standing army, the right to shoot soldiers who go AWOL in the process? We've had that. Legally, a commanding officer or any other officer in that range has the right and ability to shoot a soldier just for running away, for cowardice, in the field of battle, correct? That is an extrajudicial killing on the field.
I'll be happy to answer that. Military people, by law, have less civil rights. They have less due process in military courts, and you're correct. They have less rights on a battlefield. You are absolutely correct.
Okay,
American
citizen in the process of committing a crime where they are directly, there is willing belief on the part of law enforcement to believe that they are in the process of committing a crime that will lead directly or superficially directly to the killing of innocent people, have the right to take that person out if they have no other means of gathering that person without endangering their own lives.
Only if it's an immediate threat.
That's not true. That isn't true. That's not true. If our FBI and our CIA and our local cops, actually, SWAT teams and the like, have the ability to protect their own lives by not going in and if they believe someone is planning an attack and they have no other way of extracting that person without killing themselves. Now, there's so many cases
case. What if they'd known what Tim McVeigh was about to do right before he did it?
And a sniper could shoot him, but they couldn't get him without harm. If they couldn't run in and grab him without endangering their cop's life. They have the right to make that decision. We've always had the right on American soil.
Yeah.
That's been around forever. Pre-Obama, pre-Reagan, pre-Nixon.
Yep.
That's gone back to, the 20s.
All right. We've had that ability. We got a break. 46 minutes after the hour. Right Wing World is next. We continue Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Damn it, Jim. I'm not a doctor, but I think I'm dying of laughter. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sexy liberals, we're so hot, we'll melt your popsicle. Seriously, I'll do it. 51 minutes after the hour.
So will being in room temperature for
that will do
a matter of minutes.
1-800-STEP-1-2.
The nature of a popsicle.
This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the very best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on that there, try it free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Once you go to meeting, you're never going back.
Go back.
Thanks. Okay. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Will Brian Kilmeade on the Fox and Friends?
On The View on the Couch, he came out and he said, I have a different view from Mitt Romney. I want to build the economy from the middle out. Again, an homage to the middle class, but I don't know if that's economically possible, rather than top-down.
Really?
Only rich people can create wealth in America, according to Brian Kilmeade.
For themselves, yes.
Even though that's never happened.
Wow.
Even though that's not actually how it occurs.
I think it's really true.
Yeah.
That the world is round, because you would fall off.
It's never true when one of our guys is in office. So
Brian Kilmeade would be the kind of guy that wants to roll a window down on a plane. I need to get some air.
Right.
Why can't I roll down the window?
It's stuffy in here. I'm going to open the emergency exit. Sir, no, sir.
No.
That's a ban.
Oh, but wait.
But don't understand.
I guess he hasn't read this article. Supporters struggle to defend Romney's tax plan math.
Yeah.
The more details Mitt Romney provides about his tax plan.
There's tax plan math?
Yeah. The closer he gets to validating the conclusion of a nonpartisan study that found his proposal is not mathematically possible.
Mm-hmm.
He promises that after his across-the-board tax rate cuts and elimination of unspecified loopholes benefiting high-income earners, the tax burden will be reduced for the middle class and remain constant for the wealthy, and yet he promises the plan will not add to the deficit.
Mm-hmm.
Even conservative economists have tried to make the numbers work, like Martin Feldstein. Romney has trumpeted Feldstein's study in interviews, but when pressed about the unflattering specifics of it, he said, I haven't seen his precise study.
Uh-huh. No. Hmm. I, no, I,
I missed it.
Oops. Okay, the Rush Limbaugh and the president.
You realize that Obama is trying to put together a majority coalition made up of the least informed people in this country.
Republicans?
And in some cases, may be the dumbest. He may figure he has academia all wrapped up. But, I mean, his big electoral push is for the mental midgets in this country. Proudly so.
Wow, they're already setting up to say you're stupid, you Americans that just re-elected him in a landslide, stupid heads.
Stupid idiots!
Wow. Maybe we shouldn't have defunded education every chance we got as Republicans.
Yeah.
The whole country's full of dumb people who will vote for Obama.
We're all dummies already, preemptively. Okay.
But you can't solve a problem by throwing money at it, unless it's defense and tax cuts for the rich or whatever. But education, the one problem you can't fix by throwing money at it, according to the Republicans.
That's right.
Lars Larson on the Fox News.
It's really tough to imagine why the Obama policies for four more years are going to be right for families around America. I'm sure, though, that your guy's leading in the food stamp voters poll.
Can I ask you that?
I think
is this what they're doing? They're really just preemptively insulting
Obama voters.
Everyone's
stupid, and you're on food stamps.
I'm going to agree with him. I'm going to break with tradition and agree with him in one regard, in that a lot of working class white voters who never thought they would end up on food stamps, who are not your kind of standard white folks that are on food stamps, but the working class ones who found themselves through the recession losing their job because of a displaced factory thanks to the Bain Capitals of the world, found themselves on food stamps for the first time, are now getting off food stamps and recognize the importance of government in a way that they didn't before in places like Ohio and Florida and Pennsylvania.
You need to pay attention when Road Flare Mary calls. It is only the blacks in their Escalades that are using too many of the food stamps.
Well, they couldn't possibly have an Escalade if they're not paying stuff. For stuff with food stamps, because black people aren't allowed to make that much money.
We're helpers.
In her America.
We suggested that her son, who cannot get food stamps because of the aforementioned blacks in their Escalade, we suggested that he date a black girl, so he could.
Or he could stop being a lazy bum, according to Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney. Perhaps the reason he's not. I love how if you've succeeded in this in the last 4 years, it's because of your own.
Of
your bootstraps.
Not because of Obama.
You pulled yourself up, not Obama. But if you failed, it's because of Obama.
It's because of Obama.
What? Wait a minute. Bootstraps only work one direction or something? Is that what the deal is?
Bill Kristol on the Fox News.
I think, honestly, conservatives are being a little too obsessive about individual sentences. President Obama says voters aren't going to make up their mind based on that. They're going to make up their mind on his four years of his record and what Mitt Romney's alternative is. And the Romney campaign, I think, falls in the trap of becoming sort of a speech critic of Obama, you know? I mean, people like us should do that. It's perfectly appropriate. But as a political matter, people are going to make up their mind on the policies. Obama speaks pretty well as a president. He makes some mistakes. Other presidents have made plenty of mistakes.
Bill Kristol really hates Mitt Romney, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
That is awesome.
Well, that's, you know, again, he's along that big crowd of people who was like, I don't think any of these guys are it, but he's definitely not it, you know, with Mitt when he was coming up. And they're like, he's just going to be pushed. He was part
Didn't
of the.
Did he say yesterday by accident, too, that something like Obama's done a pretty good job on the recovery?
Yeah.
Ann Coulter, Fox and Friends.
You have liberals play-acting against non-existent racism and telling the world that Republicans and Tea Partiers are racist. Step two is taunt Republicans for not having more blacks in their party.
Sure.
Right. I don't know. Maybe it's because of the signs at the Tea Party rallies with the president with a phone through his nose. I don't know where we
or
got
or people defacing Obama-Biden things and saying, or, you know, Romney rules, Jesus Christ is awesome, and the N-word.
Or
and
the guy hanging a chair from a tree.
Yeah. But that's, you know, actually, that's to her defense. That I and my friends, a bunch of liberals, that's what we do when we get buck wild.
I don't know we did wrong, but one more, Ann Coulter.
These are not people who have black friends, who know black people. Oh, sorry, except, you know, Lawrence O'Donnell and Bill Maher, who date black gals, so they think they're freedom riders.
Wow.
Wow, getting into folks' personal life. Okay.
First of all, we all know that Bill will sleep with you if you ask him, man. Just go ahead and do it. And secondly,
he'll overlook the penis. And,
I think.
Huh?
What?
All right.
His owner.
And meanwhile, how
not
many
where
times
I was going, but,
have
okay.
one of them said I wouldn't? her with Ann Coulter's.
Yeah.
Okay. 50. What did I mean by that?
I don't know.
I don't know either. 58 minutes after the hour. Stephanie Brown, Obama Biden National African American Vote Director, joins us. And we have crunchy audio goodness from the president's address to the UN as we roll along. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks on The Stephanie Miller Show.
On The Stephanie Miller Radio Show in suburban America. This morning.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2. Sexy Liberal in Seattle at the Paramount. Only very, very tiny few tickets left, so go and get them now for Saturday night in Seattle. And then October 27th at the Beacon Theater in New York City. Whee! Especially huge celebrity guests at both shows.
Huge.
All right. So,
and it's not Trump.
No. It's not him. All right. Stephanie Brown is the Obama-Biden National African-American Vote Director. She joins us now. Good morning, my namesake sister.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm great, thank you. Great.
Well, you know, I almost have to laugh at your title for a second when I look at how far ahead the Obama-Biden are among African-American voters. But
you have your feet up on the desk.
Are you like the Maytag repairman?
Right.
You know, it's so funny. People sometimes will try to claim as though, you know, we're taking that community for granted. But I can tell you, as I, you know, look at my title every day, that we are dedicated to continuing to outreach to the African-American community, regardless of what the polls may say. We know how important it is to have those conversations.
I think it's actually directly related to why the polls are the way they are. It's because of the direct outreach and the constant attention and the appreciation. You know what I mean? If you didn't have that focus the rest of the campaign, it wouldn't be 100-0 or 99.
Or something like that.
Right.
Some bad news bear score.
Yeah.
Steph, you know, it's interesting, though. I mean, every now and again, you know, you'll read a story that is disturbing. I read one about, you know, black ministers urging some of their flocks to stay home. Is that a concern of yours over marriage equality?
You know, it's not. One of the things that we've seen is a strong level of support from the African-American faith community and pastors specifically. And while they are not able to endorse candidates from the pulpit, you know, in their personal capacities, pastors have been very vocal about their support for the president. We just had a call, actually, with President Obama and a group of pastors, and the legends like Joseph Lowry was on there talking with pastors, and we've seen a high level of support. And so sometimes I think stories can get blown out of proportion. Now, that does not mean that we're not keeping our eye on it and making sure that we're, you know, clarifying things. But we've continued to see a lot of support from the black faith community.
Because, Stephanie, I don't know about you, but anybody urging anybody on the partisan, any side of the partisan divide to stay home really offends me, you know, considering the number of people that have died for our right to vote. When you consider the number of African Americans that brave dogs and hoses in order to have the right to vote, I just think that's...
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And especially, you know, and when you look, Stephanie, at, you know, back in the past, I mean, we had a number of black pastors who actually led the charge for voting rights, especially in the black community. And so, you know, from of course, Dr. Martin Luther King, Reverend Ralph Abernathy, you know, so many people who come from the black faith tradition, encouraging people to vote is of utmost importance. And I'm happy to say that we've continued to see a lot of that support now.
Stephanie, obviously, the story that a lot of people are most concerned about is voter suppression of, you know, particularly of minorities in state after state by these, you know, Republican governors and legislatures. Where are we on that? I know we've won rulings in a number of states. Where are we?
Yeah, we are continuing to keep our eye on the ball there. You know, at the end of the day, this campaign and this Democratic Party is about increasing opportunities for people to engage in the electoral process, which, I mean, democracy is one of the greatest things we have in this country, and I think is what makes us a great nation. And so to have Republican legislators who are trying to quiet voices, you know, in this process is very concerning. But we've had a number of successes in states where we've had increases in early voting days. We've had some states that no longer require voter ID at the polls. And so what we're doing as a campaign is making sure we're educating the community to know what they need to vote. And so we have a wonderful website, gottavote.com, G-O-T-T-A, vote.com, that really is our hub to get that information in a state-specific way to the voters.
Well, we were just saying last hour, Stephanie, that I hope, and I've seen, I feel like in a lot of pockets, where people are even more mobilized to vote because they're so offended by a lot of these, you know, voter suppression tactics.
Yeah, tell me about it, right?
You know, that's the other thing is that, we've tried to urge people, like, help someone else get registered or get an ID or you know, get over some of these hurdles, right, that Republicans are putting up in some areas.
Yeah, totally. You know, this year, voting has to be a family affair, and we need to start with our own families first and our friends. And if there's, you know, if we have a cousin or a neighbor who isn't registered to vote, we should take it upon ourselves and consider it our responsibility that the people closest to us are not only registered, but that they're prepared to vote. Mm-hmm. And so I agree, like, that is extremely important that we take other folks with us to the polls. If you need a ride, there's a number of elderly neighbors who need rides. Let's make sure everyone has a chance to vote on Election Day.
Listen, if you listen to my show, you know I have no problem being annoying, and I'm happy to do it to friends and neighbors as well. Stephanie, thanks so much for your time as we roll along this election season, and, you know, fingers crossed on these polls and all this stuff, right? So
yeah, and, you know, and I just want to highlight, Stephanie, I mean, Iowa starts voting tomorrow, so we are in the game.
That's
things
right.
are happening next week. Ohio starts to vote, so, mm-hmm. you know, it's happening now. It's not just about November 6th. It's about these early votes, so,
yep.
you know, always thank you for letting me come talk to you for a little bit, and I hope you have a great day.
You mm-hmm. too, Steph. Thanks so much. Stephanie Brown, there she goes.
Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. What was the last poll we saw, African-American? It was 98. Seriously? 98 to...
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
stupid.
Right.
Yeah. yeah.
It was, and within the margin of error.
It was 99.998% to 999. What is your problem?
What?
Yeah, it was the statistical... difference.
Yeah, Herman Cain is the only one.
You're right. And Alan West.
He's probably not even
Herman
voting for
Cain
Romney.
And Alan West are like, I don't like you either. They don't like each other. Like Herman Cain and Alan West can't stand each other.
All right.
So it's like, I don't even think we qualify statistically just because we don't like anybody.
No.
You're automatically disqualified.
All right. Margaret and Joe in Madison. Oh, it's a programming note.
Oh.
Here's some helpful fun facts.
Okay.
Steph, thought I'd let you know that Current is available on the TVs in the Hotel Beacon.
Hey.
That's where we have a hotel deal.
Awesome.
Hurry and call for your rooms for Sexy Liberal October 27th.
So.
So if you know if they wanted to rebroadcast the Sexy Liberal documentary late in the night after your show.
Or
how
before
about that?
To get y'all warmed up.
Right?
Like yeah. Sloppy seconds.
Just in case you're interested, there's also a really They're wonderful store right next to the Beacon called Beacon Wines and Spirits. Okay, now we're talking.
All right.
Paula writes, remember John and Amherst called yesterday? And,
Jan, it's a room full of black guys.
Caused the mortgage crisis.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then he said, Obama's had everything handed to him his whole life.
Yeah, because that's the way, right. Remember, I remember how the 60s and 70s were for black people. Remember
right.
that?
Because
yeah.
Paula writes, and Mitt Romney awesome. Hasn't had everything handed to him. As you know, Mitt Romney born a poor black child. That was, what?
Mm-hmm.
Mitt Romney was born on third base and probably hit a triple.
It's not like I was born in a silver spoon in my mouth. Actually, I was.
I was born, actually.
Yes, I was. Actually.
And another
Good
one.
Point. Yeah.
And another orifice.
And, yeah.
All right. Sexy Liberal Helen Sparks says
a hilarious. Silver popsicle. What?
A hilarious stand-up bit about how.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yes.
But in America, we think, you know, being gay is...
That fat is genetic, but gay is a choice.
Right. No, right. This is why you're fat.
Oh.
Yes.
This is why you're
Paula
fat.
Dean?
This is going to go on thisiswhyyourefat.com. Pizza Hut's latest caloric monstrosity, Bakker brings us. Just when you thought you couldn't get any fatter, from the people who brought you cheeseburger crust pizza comes another gastrointestinal holocaust. Sure to make your primary care physician a very rich person. Introducing the new cone crust pizza from Pizza Hut Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
It's already loaded
cone
with cheese and all your
crust.
Favorite toppings. The novelty pie comes complete with a crust made of mini pizza cones. Each conical food bullet is lovingly encrusted with Parmesan stuffed with either cream cheese, a wad of honey mustard, chicken, or both.
Wow.
All I'm picturing is...
I just think I'm going to burst.
I'm picturing a pizza that looks vaguely like petrified shark teeth. Like, right, yeah. Just surrounded by cones of the
chasing
like
each other.
A bear yeah. trap. Like wow. It's you go, hey, pepperoni, it's
pizza,
shunk.
It's pizza with a bunch of mini extra pizzas, 12 extra mini
but
pizzas
cream
on
cheese,
top of it.
Filled with cream cheese.
My mom,
honey chicken.
One of my favorite things my mom used to make was that she would take Pillsbury crescent rolls and she would put cream cheese in the middle of them and bake them with that in it. And that was closed down.
Yeah. It tastes like home.
Yeah, it's a comfort food.
Oh, that's adorbs.
It's true.
Covered with lard sauce.
Covered with lard.
Dipped in bacon. Dipped in hot lard.
Dipped in bacon
and then
cheese.
We would throw them out our window whenever the zombies would attack and that would distract them for a while and then they would go back to work.
A little peek into the Sparks home. All yeah. right. Linda in New Mexico. Hi, Linda.
Hey, Steph. Love you guys.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I wanted to offer an alternative explanation for Romney and the gang rejecting the polls, and that is that if we know that they're trying to steal the election through voter suppression and
right.
intimidation and who knows what else. If Romney wins, they can say later, well, see, the polls are wrong, and they may stop a revolution, because this is not an election. If Romney wins, it's a corporate coup.
Yes.
Yes.
No question. You're absolutely right. And that laying that groundwork, the frustrating part for them on a lot of fronts, I think, is that they are staring at a bigger route than even when McCain was running. And they're hoping what they can do is, I think, if you're looking for any kind of shenanigans, I don't necessarily think they'll be on the presidential level, because Fox makes way too much money being the anti-Obama network
yeah.
anyway. So yeah. there's not a lot of support for getting him out there, out of there, quite frankly. But controlling the House is really important.
They can barely defend Romney during this election cycle for four years.
Forget, oh, my God. They and the thing is, as soon as he got in office, their big fear is that he would actually go
Besides,
fairly moderate. He would, yes.
As you said, Sean yeah. Hannity's too much of a
nook.
He doesn't have the stamina to defend Mitt Romney for 4 years. Okay,
it's 17. Good what you've done, Mitt. It's real good.
Yeah. We got the same hairdo. Come on. Nook.
17 minutes after the hour.
I'm Sean Hannity. Nook.
I love that. I don't know why. Okay,
excuse
right
me, I have to go off air and yell at my family in a cell phone really loud within earshot
right.
of everybody
okay.
at Fox News.
He specializes in making radio conventions awkward for me. This is what he does.
Right.
17 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
My opinion is, you're nuts.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Come here, cutie. I flip her around and then I work that booty. I came here tonight to hear the crowd go. Boom, shake, shake, shake the room. Boom, shake, shake, shake the room.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. Hump Days with sexy liberal Hal Sparks. Oh, dear. Just more bad news for Mittens left and right. What's this from the Washington Post poll?
Oh. 61%.
61% have a negative view of Romney's handling of the campaign.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
On the other hand, an article by Bob Patrakis and Harvey Wasserman, will 9 GOP governors electronically flip Romney into the White House?
That's one of the scary notions about, you know, modern electronic voting and how poorly contained it is.
Mm-hmm.
And how... I don't get at some point why the federal government cannot make rules and laws about the federal elections. Let's say the federal government says you don't need an ID to, let's see, a photo ID. You need to be registered. You need to have some sort of an ID, but that shows where you live or whatever. You don't need a photo ID to vote in a federal election, because that's how if a state wants to say for governor of the state of Illinois, you have to do this
Jim, it's the same thing we talk about every time. Turnout. I mean, the polls looking the way they are now, and the turnout is what we think it's going to be. It's going to be tough to do that.
Yeah. Well,
that would be a revolution.
Well, that's why.
Suddenly, look, Mitt Romney won in a landslide.
Well, yeah,
somehow.
Well, right. That's what happened in 2004, and everyone said,
But the gap was way
smaller.
Narrower. And that's why I think the concern is actually the flipping will go on in the Congress.
Right.
Because congressional seats won't have as much attention. They'll go, well, maybe a lot of voters.
For more obstructionism.
Yeah. maybe voted for Obama, but they let this guy in to balance it.
Angela in Minnesota. Hi, Angela. Welcome.
My turn. Hi. Yes. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for being on.
Thank you.
I mean, NPR, the other radio stations won't let me on, but here's the deal. Everybody needs to vote. Make them give you a provisional ballot if they have to, because the provisional ballots can no longer be thrown away. They have to be counted. Even if you have the ID from 2008, I don't care what you have. Go to the polls and vote, because they must give you that provisional ballot. And the caller before me, the guy that was saying it's a federal issue, he's right. They must give you a provisional ballot.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you love it?
Go.
All right. Thank you. Wow, you are.
Yeah.
You're scrappy, Angela. I like
She's
that.
Right, but I would say...
I would love if all this voter suppression stuff just gives us like an unprecedented turnout and an unprecedented landslide. Yeah. All the super PAC money, all of this stuff, Republicans will just be like, no!
Well, I just put an article in the hump chat at healthsparks.com.
Excuse me?
Yeah. That one of the concerns is that voter suppression of the Latino vote could be enough to provide the margin of victory in some states. That's what they're hoping for, is that's the 2% that they need to put it within the margin of error and push them over the top.
That is pathetic. That's like their strategy.
Oh, it is.
How do we stop people from voting?
I met with 10 journalists from Latino papers and both in the States and South America yesterday, and that was a big concern of theirs, and it was amazing how they handled the Univision thing, because I made my joke about how I don't think he wore brown face. I honestly don't. I think he slammed his face in cumin, because then he'd get the color benefit and a smell they're used to.
Lorraine,
and, you know,
in
they
Florida.
Like cumin. It's in tacos and that kind of stuff.
Hi,
it's good.
Steph.
Hi, Lorraine. Welcome.
Hi, bear with me. I have a disability that affects my speech.
That's okay.
Hi, Steph and Helen the Mook. Love you all.
Thanks.
My comment is over the outrage over the NFL call. And on the same day, there was an announcement that 10 million Latino votes might be disenfranchised.
Right.
And I'm wondering, where's the outrage over that?
Yeah, well, no, isn't that something that it's only when our football gets up?
You can't mess with football!
Right.
We're like, wait a minute, maybe unions aren't so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the absurdity of it, and that kind of goes back to the caller earlier about the concern for the extrajudicial assassination of a guy who's actually linked to helping Al-Qaeda in the field. He's not on American soil. There's so many ways you can make the case for exactly what happened the way it happened, but then nobody is freaking out about that, like, amputee who was shot by the police here.
Right.
Because he had a pen in his hand and he
sitting in a wheelchair.
Sitting in a wheelchair. Missing an arm and a leg.
Jim, Ralph Reed has a questionnaire
Ralph
for
Reed.
You.
Hey.
You know, Jack Abramoff cohort.
Super Christian who steals old people's retirements.
He sent in mail-in questionnaire.
Mm-hmm.
It asks, how much danger do you think liberty is in right now as a result of President Obama's policies, actions, and agenda for America's failure? The options, you can choose, it's like it's a bubble, like in a standardized test. The options are more serious than the threats we faced in World War II from Nazi Germany and the Japanese, because the attack on liberty is from our own government. That's your one choice.
God.
Your second choice is more serious than the threat we faced from the Soviet Union during the Cold War. Your third choice is more serious than the American Civil War.
Tough one.
Well, considering it's targeting voters who are alive for all three of those things.
Yeah.
Wow. Is Obama worse than Nazis, communists, or the U.S. Civil War? Those are your options.
That's which side of the Civil War?
Yeah, exactly.
Dangerous.
Wow. That's probably the part of it. There's a little bit of confusion there.
This explains Ralph Reed. When a colleague of Jack Abramoff once asked him if Reed wasn't too much of a Christian ideologue to make an effective lobbyist, Abramoff said Reed's idealism only extends as far as the cash goes. That's kind of Christian.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He's a cash and carry
kind
of guy.
Christian with a dollar sign instead of the S in the middle.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Exactly. Ronnie
and a C coin.
Yeah.
Ronnie in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy hump day, everybody.
Thanks. Yeah.
Hi.
It's hump day. All right.
My response was about that caller earlier talking about what happened overseas.
George W. Bush was the one that passed a law that allowed government to imprison citizens for life without a trial.
Right.
So.
Yeah, exactly.
And Obama was the one who said, we're not going to do that anymore. And that was, even in the NDAA, added legally binding elements to his signing statement to it.
All right.
So.
Crunchy audio goodness from the president's UN speech as we continue Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Remember, kids, she's not a whore if she's an actress.
Good point. It is a good point.
I'm just asking. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Well,
does that get guys off the hook?
There's finally a good headline for Romney. A poll, Romney ahead in presidential race, say replacement refs. It's an Andy Barlett.
Pretty close, though. I mean, basically his own replacement refs are the ones who are saying it. We checked our internal polls, and the poll I have inside me says, I like Romney. That's an internal poll.
I see.
The one I have up my butt that makes me stand up too straight and walk like a robot and turn left, right. Left, right, blink, blink. Left, right, blink. Left, right, blink, blink. Point down, blink.
Always to the right. Always to the right. Never turn left. Always right.
Always right.
Right. Always right.
David in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call, Stephanie. You guys are enlightening and you're funny, too.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I called about that nasal, whiny Ann Coulter comment about the Freedom Riders. I'm not sure, but I think that's one of those dog whistle remarks about, men dating black women. Mm-hmm. I have another remark that I don't know if it can be said over TV, the radio, but white trash brings me to Ann Coulter and the Rush Limbaughs. I hate to say it, but these people, they're so radical, I can't handle it anymore.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe you just said that over the radio.
Nerve. Well, he was trying to tap dance around what he wanted to say, and we respect him for that. I get what you're saying.
The president, I thought it was fabulous yesterday. He told the United Nations General Assembly that the deadly attack on the U.S. consulate in Libya should be a wake-up call for the Muslim world to embrace democratic principles and renounce extremism of all kinds. The president...
Just as we cannot solve every problem in the world, the United States has not and will not seek to dictate the outcome of democratic transitions abroad.
I thought someone said
translation. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. That's what Fox and Friends heard this morning.
I'm sorry. We're not awesome enough.
Apology continues.
Apologize for America being not awesome.
I thought he struck a perfect line. He said, today we must affirm that our future will be determined by people like Chris Stevens, not by his killers. Today we must declare that this violence and intolerance has no place among our United Nations. He repeated his condemnation of the, the anti-Muslim YouTube clip produced in America, saying it does not reflect the views of the U.S. government. But he paired that with the demand that Middle Eastern leaders not only recognize Americans' right to free speech, but condemn intolerance among Christians, Jews, Muslims, sects within their own countries. I thought that was, the perfect line to walk with all of this.
He's apologizing for America.
Yeah, a.k.a. sorry.
The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. Yet to be credible, those who condemn that slander must also condemn the hate we see when the image of Jesus Christ is desecrated, churches are destroyed, or the Holocaust is denied. Let us condemn incitement against Sufi Muslims and Shiite pilgrims. It's time to heed the words of Gandhi. Intolerance itself is a form of violence and obstacles to the growth of the true democratic spirit. The president yesterday.
We are home to Muslims who worship across our country. We not only respect the freedom of religion, we have laws that protect individuals from being harmed because of how they look or what they believe.
Oh, she's comparing Jesus to Muhammad.
Yeah.
He's apologizing for Jesus.
Okay. Then he talked about the nuclear-armed Iran.
Make no mistake, a nuclear-armed Iran is not a challenge that can be contained. It would threaten the elimination of Israel. That's why a coalition of countries is holding the Iranian government accountable. And that's why the United States will do what we must to prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon.
Oh, it's and, just preventing Iran from getting a new... What?
And now...
Wait, what?
They don't have one already? I swear they already did. And they found WMD in Iraq, too. Didn't you hear that? I heard that. I heard that from people... Like, apparently they were found at his house in Kenya.
And here is Mitt Romney, of course, talking about Armageddon, caused by, of course, Obama. God. Dogs and cats living together.
Syria has witnessed the killing of tens of thousands of people. The president of Egypt is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. Our ambassador to Libya was assassinated in a terrorist attack. Iran is moving toward nuclear weapons capability. We somehow feel that we're at the mercy of events rather than shaping events.
Oh, dictating events all over the world. What we need to be is have military bases throughout the Middle East. And when I'm president, not only will we be carpet bombing Iran.
Well, carpet bomb everybody.
I don't think the world could hit anyone quite as much as George W. Bush. But I think Mitt Romney might.
Yeah.
Romney's poor to get in office. He's already pre-insulted the world, and he's not even close to being in office. John in Las Vegas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, John.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'd like to talk about the voter suppression laws that these governors are trying to pull. I think it's funny how they want to spread democracy across the Middle East and across the world, but want to suppress their own people here in America.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point that hypocrisy out.
Yep. Thank you.
You guys have a good day.
Thank you. Thanks. Oh, you too. It's a very good
one.
Right.
You guys are familiar, I'm sure, with that with Paul Weyrich's quote, the guy who was one of the founders of the Heritage Foundation,
right.
Who said, a lot of our conservative friends suffer from what I call the goo-goo syndrome, the good government syndrome. We do not want people to vote. Elections have never been won by a plurality of vote. They never have been, and they never should be. He doesn't, I mean, when they say, keep this in mind, when Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney talk about, and the Tea Partiers talk about the founding fathers and what the founding fathers wanted, the part they are specifically focusing on, when they really mean that, besides the black people and Indians are three-fifths of a person, and women shouldn't vote, is that the only people who should be voting are landowners, people who specifically are, and to them, that's the modern corporate owners, the corporate class.
Right.
That's you're qualified by success and by God-given right to some degree, because they always relate that through Joel Osteen to God likes you better. So you know, you could tell God loves you because he hides your homosexuality from your friends and he gives you lots of money so you can run a corporation because you're male and you have a wiener.
God is your beard.
Yeah, God is your beard.
Who does he hide Joel Osteen's homosexuality from?
From his hairdresser. His hairdresser.
All right. Yeah. Shauna in Colorado, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Shauna.
Hi, how are you guys
doing? Good, go ahead.
I'm calling about Scott Brown. And I am a mother. I'm the only parent. I've raised six kids. I have two minors at home. And I can tell you over the years in the schools with anti-bullying and the tolerance and everything, and it's not just parents, teachers, our students are even, our children are coming to a point where they want the anti-bullying. They want tolerance. And I see a video of Scott Brown's
his staff
representing him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Holding signs and doing Indian calls.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see that?
Doing the tomahawk chop from the the Washington.
Yeah. Look at her. She's not Indian. Look at her. She's all white. Right.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I know what Indians look like. I mean,
she's not wearing any feathers.
Oh, my God, and it wasn't once in the debate. Did you see it was like three or four times?
Yeah. If people need to think of that in context and go, what if he was standing across from, he was running for Senate in Illinois with Barack Obama and said, he's not half white, look at him.
Yeah.
That's what that means. Yeah. That's the exact same thing.
Well, as Jim has pointed out, she's the same percentage.
As the chief of the Cherokee Nation.
Right,
she's 132nd Cherokee.
And
You know, she's got light skin.
Yeah.
Wow. Kathy in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kath.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I'd just like to say that I have such great respect and appreciation for you and your team. It's, you know, seeing such a great combination of intelligence and entertainment is wonderful.
Thank you.
We try to crowbar it all in.
Yeah.
Thank God, it gets tough sometimes.
I have two comments. If you don't have time, I understand. But number one is, do you see the correlation between Romney's campaign and the very lame campaign of Fred Thompson in 2008?
Oh, yeah.
I remember a speech he gave where he actually finished speaking and he had to ask for applause from the people.
That was at the beginning. He asked for applause when he walked in the room. Yeah.
I have to say, somebody just sent us a clip, Kathy, of Joe Scarborough coming back from that clip.
Yeah.
Romney trying to get
Romney,
the crowd.
Saying Romney, Ryan, Romney.
There's this pause,
you go.
And he goes, sweet oh. Jesus.
Yeah.
Steph, I know this isn't exactly what I called in for, but I'm a striking Chicago school teacher.
Oh, wow.
Yahoo.
And, I watch political TV all the time, and recently a lot of people, even the pundits that seem to support the teachers, have said things like, oh, you know, we really feel so sorry for the children and their loss. If you have a second, I'd like to really say what people don't understand about what children really lose.
Please.
And it's not about greed, and it's not about evaluation, although those are components. But I have a few here.
Mm-hmm.
As a teacher, I have waited anywhere from 1 to 4 months for teacher manuals and classroom textbooks for the kids.
Wow.
Fine art classes have been totally removed from our schedule. One guidance counselor for 989 students.
Yeah.
147 schools, no library, one computer lab for all of those children.
Wow.
Gym class once a week. 35 students or more in a class. No nurse on duty. I taught for 4 years in a mobile unit of fifth graders where we could barely fit.
You seem like you have some concern for the children. That's not what I'm told that you teachers unions are all about.
Oh, you have no idea. I mean, 1 year in that trailer where we could barely fit, I had 32 students, and I had to go to the principal and make sure some were removed so we could walk and move.
Oh, come
People
on.
Don't understand.
You're just in it for the money, obviously.
Yeah, you money grubber. Kathy,
Oh, I am.
No, didn't Mitt Romney say something recently that you know, you'd think that class size is something we can all agree on, is obviously been proven to be a problem, and he seemed to just be dismissing it, right?
Oh, well,
absolutely. I have a friend that teaches in the suburbs, and she has 18 in her class compared to the 32 that I had.
Yeah,
let's be real clear that education seems to be the one program in government that can't be solved by throwing money at it. This seems to be if there's a defense problem, they can't wait to chuck money, good money after bad.
Right.
Like I said, they can't, the Romney guy and Ryan ticket does not want to limit defense at all and wants to increase it beyond what the generals want, which means the new version of the Harrier jet that's built inside out so the wind only blows at the pilot.
Maybe they could use the replacement reps as teachers in Chicago now.
But at no point do they ever go, you know what? We've never even tried throwing money at the problem in education. We have never actually said, you know what, we're going to make a hyper investment, an infrastructure level investment in education in this country. We have never done it, and yet they always say it wouldn't work if we did.
45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
What the hell was that?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Our listeners are funny. 50 minutes after the hour, somebody just did the funny. We're going to put up our Facebook page.
Yeah, yeah.
Hilarious illustration of Road Flare Mary. And their son's picture on the wall. It's a mugshot.
Yeah.
Right wing Road Flare Mary from Chicago, who now has jingles. She has songs. It's a whole thing.
I was standing in line in the grocery store the other day, and I saw these poor people buying food, and I don't appreciate it. Why should poor people be allowed to live? It's disgusting.
She found a new show on the TV. She picked up the phone and called T-Bone. Told Stephanie Miller to smoke her dildo. Loud Mary, keep on burning.
Mary is delightful. Oh boy, you know, it's gotten personal with Harry Reid, hasn't it?
It's gotten personal.
He says Mitt Romney has sullied the Mormon faith.
Ooh.
In a conference call with reporters, Reid praised an opinion piece in the Huffington Post in which the author said Romney is not representative of most members of the church. He is not the face of Mormonism, the writer wrote. Harry Reid said he said that Romney had sullied the religion that he, Prince, and Romney share. Reid said, and he's so disappointed that in his words, it's a good religion and he's hiding from it.
Wow.
Meow. Man fight.
Damn. He who and Romney share?
The writer. The writer was also a Mormon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you
gotcha.
Said Prince, and I was like, he's
Prince?
A Jehovah's
Prince?
Witness.
Yeah.
No, not that Prince.
Say.
No.
Which is really weird.
No. It's entirely different Prince. Not that guy. Okay. Speaking of rock.
I don't think Mormons make that sound.
No.
No.
Sure.
They're
no.
physically.
I don't know. Depends on how tight they're.
Dana Loesch does. Dana Loesch makes that sound, but that's a different.
What was that? That's Dana Loesch.
Dana Loesch. Doing what?
Making a
noise. She was doing an impression of Democrats finding out bad news, and I just isolated it.
Ann Romney said.
That's why.
Stop it.
That's why I didn't recognize it, because we haven't been getting a lot of that lately.
Yeah, exactly.
What was her impersonation of? Of Republicans getting bad news? Or just basically her whole show?
Yeah.
Her whole show this week?
You know, Jackie Schechter does a feature called You're Not Helping. I may have to send this along to her. Madonna strips for Obama, offers profanity-laced endorsement.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see that as a problem.
She stripped down to her underwear to reveal the president's name written on her body. She said, you all better vote for Obama, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're not helping.
You're not helping.
Yes, she is. Have you seen Sarah Silverman's video, by the way?
I have not. I've heard about it.
Oh, it's genius. Everybody should watch it.
We put a link to it up on your Facebook page.
It is NSFW, but it is great. It is not safe for work.
Got it.
But it's
right.
Terrific. Yeah.
Look at this, Jim. Girls to go at sin-hungry Jack Nicholson's party palace. Jack Nicholson still partying to beat the band at age 75. Jack still goes for wild women late-night booze fest.
Straight.
Only now everything goes down at his L.A. estate. Unless it's for a Lakers game or work, Jack rarely leaves his house. I'm the female Jack Nicholson now. This is me.
I just have the girls come up. There's no need to leave the house.
This is me.
Bring them to the front door. The back door's jammed.
I had a birthday party.
So crazy somewhere else. We're all full of fear.
Yeah.
I had a sexy little birthday party, and Hal Sparks is my only friend that never shows up, and he never even RSVPs.
Well, I'm not going to RSVP. I'm not going to show up. That's the whole point of RSVPing.
Whatever.
If I can't make it, I'm not going to RSVP.
Although, when Stephanie sends an invite, she demands that you RSVP in the next 24 hours or you're
right,
a bad friend.
Immediately.
Yeah.
You guys walk in and I give you...
Yes, why haven't you answered? You just sent it last night at 7.
Mm-hmm.
They only come because they're afraid I'll fire them. Okay.
Right.
Farva?
And I do this for free, so I don't have to worry.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it gives me the ability to not show up at parties. It's worth every dime not gotten.
Paid friends? What's? I don't care.
You should look into that.
I got to have some kind of friends.
Yeah.
So what? Could Fargo be coming to the small screen? You betcha. Oh, that would be very exciting. Let's see. Yeah, Joel and Ethan Coen. Our FX is developing an adaptation of Fargo for the small screen.
Oh. Cool.
I just think I'm going to barf.
You got to have Francis, though.
I think that's your accomplishment, woodchipper.
I don't think you're going to get Francis.
I know. What's the point, then?
Okay. Sarah Palin's not busy.
Paul in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Paul.
How are you doing, ma'am?
Good, ma'am. Oh, thank you. Go ahead.
I want to thank you for giving me an opportunity just to voice my opinion.
Okay.
Honestly, I was a military member under first Bush, second Bush, and Clinton in between. So been doing it for a long time. And I just want to voice my extreme irritation, anger, frustration, I don't know what to call it, to have a man who turns around and has five sons, didn't serve in the military himself. His sons didn't even make an attempt to serve in the military, and yet he has the audacity to go over behind closed doors, okay, and in effect state that I am an irresponsible victim because instead of going out there and amassing as much money as possible to feed my family, I chose to serve my country.
Yep, yep. Paul, I got to tell you, I've said this over and over. Don't you think, Chris, we've had an inordinate amount of veterans call this show that feel the same way. And so I think that conventional wisdom this year about the military always votes for the Republican are not going to be true.
No. If what he said or the lack of what he should say about the military or veterans or even support for the VA and those kind of things, if it was just that he wasn't giving lip service, it would be one thing.
Right.
But Paul Ryan and the crowd he leads and who are now permanently attached to the Romney ticket, are the ones who want to cut VA spending a tremendous amount, who don't care to care for the soldiers once they come back. When he says military spending, he doesn't mean soldiers. He means defense contractors.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's a corporatist, and that's how they think. If he wanted to mention the soldiers, he would have mentioned the soldiers, right. And he didn't.
Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, buddy.
Hey, Mama, real quick, everybody's got to see the clip of Joe Scarborough after seeing Mitt Romney at the rally in Ohio.
Yeah.
He puts his hands in his face and goes, sweet Jesus, starts going Hail Marys and says, I'm Fredo in the boat.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, there's so many moments that I'm sure Republicans have looked and gone, this campaign is over.
That's, by the way.
This was just the latest. Oh, boy.
That's the ones that are on TV.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, can you imagine the ones who know they're behind closed
doors? Haven't actually heard him call him stench yet.
Rachel had this, had this thing where they did sort of an informal polling at a $2,500 seat.
Dinner. And not one guy said
Yeah, 10
Romney
people at the table, not one said that they thought Romney was going to win.
Yep, we did that the other day. Well, right. That's it for us.
Yeah.
Hal Sparks will be with me in Seattle this Saturday, along
that's
with
true.
John Dugal saying for Sexy Liberal. There might be a teensy tiny few tickets.
I don't think so, but you should come anyways.
Yeah, try anyway.
Yeah,
why
we'll
not?
Be hanging around. It's a great city, Seattle. We love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
See you on the Twitter, @Hal Sparks.
All right. And we'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.